Hello, St. Andrew's family. It's Pastor Matt and
Pastor Chris James, not of St. Andrews.
You weren't expecting that, were you, St. Andrews?
Oh, ho, ho.
Usually it's Pastor Ethan. Pastor Ethan's on vacation, a well-earned vacation. So I am here with my dear friend, Pastor Chris James, who is from Emmanuel Lutheran in Downers Grove. And actually sitting here in his office. I'm recording on site here.
That's right. We are getting it done here today for you, St. Andrew's family.
Yes. So I was telling Pastor Chris a little bit about our interactions here with how the sausage is made. It's just kind of the inside look at the sermons. And so I'll ask you, what did you preach on this last week?
This last week was Pentecost.
Yeah.
And what I preached on was the one of the themes in the Bible that kind of goes cover to cover.
Yeah,
is known as divine repair.
Yes,
in Hebrew, yes. It's called the Tikkun Olam.
Tikkun Olam, to repair the world.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things I talked about was is identified three repairs that God was putting back together.
Okay.
In the Pentecost story, right?
I haven't heard sermons. Let me guess. One is Tower of Babel.
Yes, Tower of Babel is the repair of confusion.
Okay. The other one would be the 3,000 that died.
Yes.
And then what's the third one?
It was the repair of vacancy.
Ooh, tell me about that.
The repair of vacancy is starting in the garden. The Spirit of God dwelled, you know, with the people of God.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God is driven out with sin. The Spirit of God gathers back together again with the tabernacle and the temple.
Wow.
And then Ezekiel sees the Spirit leave. And then the divine repair is coming back together. It wasn't as if the Spirit of God wasn't there prior to that, but the Spirit of God appears again in a special way in the temple,
yes,
dwelling with the people of God and infusing them for the new ministry, and obviously the great connection that no matter where you are in life or how far you've ever been from God, God desires to be a part of your life again.
Yeah, I love that. It's funny. I preached on Ezekiel 2 as well. There's no book called Ezekiel 2. I meant Ezekiel also.
Second Ezekiel.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's right next to Hezekiah.
That's right.
It's in the back of the Old Testament.
The Hezekiah, the great book of Hezekiah. It was interesting. I didn't talk as much about the Spirit leaving the temple, but talked some about the fact that the temple appears to Ezekiel in Babylon, mm-hmm, at the very beginning. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
And then the image of the Spirit flowing out of the temple and the stream, mm-hmm, of that at the very end. So again, it's kind of funny that we both end up, we're both Old Testament guys, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think so. It doesn't surprise that we both kind of end up doing something with Ezekiel.
Well, what's amazing is we both have the same boss.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and, so we tend to listen well.
Yeah. Oh man, that was fun to get into Ezekiel and I just love the image of the river. And there's so many things. One is that it brings life. Whatever it touches, it brings life to. And then there's something really staggering to me when it says, "And the sojourner within among you will receive this inheritance." Mm-hmm. And it's like, so that gift is given for everybody. So the connection for me was more, there's a Spirit descends and makes well, Christ declares he's the temple with the gospel reading, like, you know, out of me will flow streams of living water, then out of you when the Spirit comes. And then that now we're God's temple. And that's kind of a wild thing to imagine, that we're God's temple.
Yeah. Temple. And I mean, Jesus talking at the Sukkot festival.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus,
exactly,
talking at the ceremony of the water drawing.
Yes.
Right. And saying, like, I am the living water. That living water you were taking out from the pool of Siloam and pouring out on the water, like, I am that living water. Yes. And streams will flow from this place.
And just like Ezekiel, whatever it touches will come to life.
Yes.
Yeah. It was fun to preach on that. I cracks me up that we both kind of end up at the same place. Like you said, it's not shocking, but
So is this how the sausage is made?
I don't know. Maybe this is it. We should talk. Pastor Chris and I get a lot into studying the Talmud together, Jewish culture together. It's one of my dear friends. We do this with a lot.
We have a text group that whenever I need to throw ideas out called the Dust of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. It was a study that we did with two other dudes.
Yep. Yep.
And, just kind of studying Torah together. And usually when I come up with something that is very Torah grounded, I'll throw that back out and say, am I the only one getting this right? Am I way out on a limb and I'm sawing myself off on me? Are we actually making connections that are going to be valuable for the people of God?
Yeah, and included. I mean, there's Pastor Nate Gilzo, who used to be in this area and now works with PLI. And there's Pastor David Seba, who's over
T-Bone,
yeah, over at Emmanuel and Elmhurst,
and Emmanuel,
and if you have a chance to visit Pastor Chris, if you have a chance to visit Pastor Seba, there's just great, great pastors and Gilzo too, but that's only if you're down in Tennessee.
So, he's doing other stuff.
But it was great to have that. It's interesting that we have two festivals back to back. So we go from Pentecost and right into Holy Trinity Sunday. And I always kind of have to laugh to myself a little bit that there's been like this mystery in the church from the whole time the church has existed, and great minds, Gregory and Basil and all these great minds have wrestled with it. And the conclusion is it's an article of faith. It can't really be explained. And so I think one of the worst things that we try to do then for pastors is say, well, I'm going to try to explain it to you in 20 minutes, this thing that's been a mystery for 2000 years. So explanation might not be the best route, but what is a good route to take for preaching as a pastor, as a preacher on Holy Trinity? What's something that you think of, advice you'd give to a preacher?
Oh, wow. I think one of the things I would, that I've learned in preaching over the years, you can ask my people whether I execute it this way, is just say one thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just, I think one, as a young pastor,
mm-hmm.
I would have approached a text like this and said, I need to preach them the entire counsel of God.
Right, right.
They need to hear absolutely everything. They need to hear about how the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Spirit is not the Father, and yet they are co-equal in majesty and power, and work all the way, all the way through absolutely everything.
That's right.
And as I have kind of grown, mm-hmm. I think as a preacher, I have at least attempted to be more focused, in proclamation, just to try to give people one thing to take care of, because God willing, this won't be the only time I ever get to talk the Trinity, right? God willing, I'll get another chance next year, or God willing, the next time we talk about a baptism, it'll come back around, and God willing, when we come around to another Mission Sunday and we hit the Trinitarian Matthew text, we'll be able to talk about it there too. And so there'll be this this relationship that we'll eventually be able to build the kind of mosaic where they'll get a wider picture than if I tried to just, blast away and have them drink from the fire hose.
Yeah, and that's such wise counsel. And I think that's part of the whole preaching ministry. There's also comfort in the preaching ministry that it takes time over time, because not every sermon's awesome. And you maybe weren't real happy with the sermon you preached. Think, well, it's a whole ministry. It's not just mm-hmm. Make it or break it this one week. Mm-hmm. As far as keeping one thing, I it's one of the things I've been really impressed with my associate pastor, Pastor Ethan, is a young guy. I think, you're usually kind of doing that constant drumbeat. Hey, focus in. He does a real great job of just picking the mm-hmm. one thing. This is the main thing it's going to be about, and making it real simple. So I've been impressed with that, especially as a newer guy. He's kind of miles ahead, and it's just been fun to watch that. What are you talking about this week? What's your kind of big one thing?
Yeah, at you know, it's still in development.
Sure.
All right. So we haven't worked our way entirely around it, but I'm narrowing in on the Genesis text.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay?
And so,
are you using the whole text?
Currently.
Okay. Okay. I shortened it.
Currently working in on the whole Genesis text. Narrowing in on, you know, kind of how, you know, God's interaction
mm-hmm.
with us and the different ways that, God, wants us to be, you know, connected mm-hmm. with him. One of the things I'm really narrowing in on because I did actually put some stuff down. It's still process. One of the things I really am locking in on is God is not like you.
Yeah, there you go.
God is not like you.
You're not saying God doesn't like you.
No,
he's not like you.
God is not like
okay,
you.
Okay.
And it comes thanks. out of some conversations I've had with some new members when we've opened it up at the end and they've asked questions. And one of the questions that came up a couple of months ago was what are some of the things that you wish people knew and understood more
yeah.
as they're kind of growing in faith? And I said, one of the things I wish people had a better sense of is God as other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We so connect ourselves with believing that God is just like us, that we gut God's ability to actually help us.
Right, right.
Because
right.
If God is only going to think like I do, then never can a new thought be introduced into your world in order to help you. Right. If love only looks like how you would love, never can you understand the kind of love that, you know, that God has, you know, for
wow.
you.
Yeah.
And so we limit ourselves when we do that. And so what I'm working through is, you know, the sermon title is Good News. God is not like you. Right.
Like
and so
that.
I talk about how
that.
God is not like us, you know, in creation and separate from us and separate, you know, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. There's different between creator and creation. But then to say that's actually good news because God is not like you. The Father can speak life
you know,
into you because Jesus is not like you. He can actually sacrifice all the way and give his life and love you even when. You
yeah.
don't deserve it or feel like you deserve it, right? Because the Spirit, you know, is not like you. He can connect you to a faith that is wider and greater and deeper than anything you'd ever come up with on your own. And
man.
So it needs a little refining. Needs a little refining, I think. But
I think that's amazing. I love that idea. And I think that's such a natural. It naturally fits with that reading, especially we're talking about the creation and the creator. And there's a God who created time. And there's a God who created matter. And will our people be able to hear that sermon? Is that something that's posted on your website?
Yeah, it. We do. We stream it.
Okay.
So you can just go to ilcdg.org/watch.
Okay.
And go there, and you can check it out. You can go into the. It'll be on there. Yeah, it'll be on there in video format. You can skip ahead to whenever we get to we get to that part of the service.
Well, I tell you, the people skip ahead to your sermon. I think when my sermon sometimes people skip ahead when they get to it.
Well, I didn't say I said so, you can, and I'm not. You wouldn't be the first one if someone skips out of my sermon.
I can't wait to listen to that. What a great idea!
But what about you, man? What's turning you? Are you got a little back to back here?
Yeah,
are you building off of last week's at all? Or are you just going
not building off a ton. I think last week we focused on the Holy Spirit and we actually got into catechism a little bit and stuff like that. But this week. I think the main thing is there's kind of three points. One is there's a mystery and it's okay. We don't have to make sense of the mystery. We're called to believe it. And there's a great quote from Augustine. He says something along the lines of, what is it? If you don't believe, in the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. If you try to explain the Trinity, you'll lose your mind.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I love that. But the second point is we get to focus on what we do know mm-hmm. and what is revealed. And there's, mm-hmm. you know, Christ loves us. And the other thing is, I think we'll spend a lot of time in the gospel reading that all of the Trinity loves you. Mm. All of God loves mm-hmm. you. And that all comes through the Great Commission. You know, Sandy, that what is it? Drawing a blank now, but you know, go and baptize all nations, right? And it's mm-hmm. for all people. And then he goes and says, you know, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You're baptizing all the name of God. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, it's just this. Teach them everything I commanded. You know,
and I will be with and you always unto exactly. the age of ages.
Exactly. So. It's all those things. It's just like, it's this all encompassing thing. And so the mystery of the Trinity, we're not going to understand it, but we get engulfed in it. We get embraced by God in every aspect of it. And that's kind of the main message. It's just, we're free to have these mysteries because there's certain things that really are not mysterious about God. And that's that you are loved and valued and he died and rose for you. That's kind of the main message. So,
that's great. I love the fact that, you know, both of us are, you know, approaching this from a different way, but at the same time, you know, really blending together the, you know, a harsh law with some incredible gospel, right?
Right.
And the harsh law being like, you can't get this. Right. And look, and in the end, like, I mean, we all, one of the things I mentioned is, you know, We're all enlightenment, you know, enlightenment humanists, that man is the measure of all things.
We believe somehow
that we should be able to be capable of all things. We're made in the image of God, after all. And right. yes, that's entirely true. However, you know, the image of something is not the same thing. You know, a picture of the Grand Canyon is not the same thing as the Grand Canyon.
Amen.
Right. And so, you know, there's a harsh law to be able to understand, like, you cannot understand this. And you have to realize that, you know, you are not capable of it. But the good news is that God has revealed
mm-hmm.
this. There is a blessing to be experienced. And the little that you know is an ocean full of mercy and grace and love. Amen. And it's more than enough.
Yeah. Right?
But it does take faith. You gotta believe that the partial is enough. Right, you have to believe that the way that Paul talks about it—that looking dimly in the mirror and not getting the clear reflection—is
enough.
Like, is enough. And so there's a great Lutheran tension there of law and gospel that both of us are kind of navigating in different ways that I really appreciate.
You saying that just reminds me of Jesus when the woman who's a Gentile comes to him and is asking for a blessing, and what is, you know, he says, and what can.
Go away.
Yeah, go. Well, but I mean, it's very harsh. But he talks about they're not sitting at the table, and then she says, "But you know, but the scraps on the table will be enough." And that's for us. Is scraps on the table are enough? Right. That's a feast.
Right to
that's
give
a feast.
The food from the table.
Yeah, to the
dogs.
Right.
That's but even the dogs get to eat the scraps from the table.
And for us, sometimes. What we can understand feels like scraps, but those scraps are a mighty feast when they come from the hand of God.
And what is it? And so what does it take for us to believe it's enough? I say regularly, and whether anybody hears it or not, I don't know, but I say regularly that enough is such a gospel word.
Yeah.
And it takes such faith to believe enough is not a number. Enough is not quantifiable.
Right.
It's faith alone. Faith alone can establish enough, and to believe that what you have right now and where you are right now and the health that you have right now is enough
mm-hmm.
to experience the fullness of Jesus.
Mm.
Like, that's enough.
It's enough.
Like, you have enough. And so to understand whatever you understand about Trinity, whether you're falling into a heresy of trying to over-explain it, or whether you're not trying to grasp it, you know, in the right way, knowing that there is a Father and a Son and a Spirit that loves you and has given his life for you and has welcomed you in and wants to send you in the kind of relationship where you can impart that kind of grace and mercy in the world. I mean, how's that not enough? Like, what more do you want?
Right. Right. I love that. I love that. The whole idea that we have enough understanding because of God's grace, because of the Holy Spirit, we have enough understanding. Even things that don't understand, it's okay because we know what we do understand about Jesus. Now, this I'm going to go a little off here with this, not too far off, but it's still the subject of the Holy Trinity. This time of year is a time of year when you hear everybody, especially pastors, complain about, well, you shouldn't use the example of the Trinity as the apple of the core and the skin and that, or you shouldn't use the example of the phases of water or the three-leaf clover. And I think to myself, you know, St. Patrick, if he used the clover, probably okay, at least to put the idea into someone's head. I know there's modalism and there's all these different heresies. There's no perfect way to explain the Trinity. So I don't really have a problem using some of these things with kids to try to get them to think about the three in one, you know? Do you struggle?
You know
with
what
that?
I you know what I say about this? They're always after me, Lucky Charms. Always.
They're magically always. Delicious.
They're magically delicious.
Magically delicious. But no, I don't have any
problem. I mean, that's any image that you use is going to come up short.
Right.
Okay. Any picture to describe, you know, the ineffable is gonna come up short. And
right.
So as long as you go into it saying, this is not a full picture.
This is imperfect.
Okay, this is not a full picture. And
yeah.
However, I want you to understand that there's separateness and there's oneness.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's okay. So you want to emphasize the oneness? Okay. You want to emphasize the separateness? Okay. Just remember, it's both. It's both and.
Right.
It's not either or.
And that's the basic root of it. And I think that's, you know, the Eastern Church emphasizes is the three and the Western Church emphasizes the one, but they both understand it's three and one and all these things. So I appreciate that. And we're going to sing a song for our children's message this week. That's my favorite. I have a song called The Watermelon Song that's about the Trinity. So,
oh, that sounds great.
We're going to sing that. And it's
give us a little recap.
Oh, here. Yeah. It's watermelon, pineapple. There's hand motions too. Banana. And then you mix it up. Fruit salad. And then you say, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. That's a song they use in India to teach people that never heard about the Trinity. That's how they use it to teach kids.
It's a little
kids.
Frere Jacques, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah?
Frere Jacques. That's right.
I love it.
But it's watermelon.
Yeah.
It's
English.
It's English.
That's why you have that outrageous accent.
That's right. So... At any rate, we'll be using that, and I will have to explain to the congregation. This is not a perfect example, so please don't shell me on the don't give me bad Yelp reviews.
How about this? I'll give you a bag of Skittles if you can tell me what heresy I'm describing.
That's right.
A bag of Skittles for the first person I can figure out.
That's right. The first person.
If you make it a contest.
Yeah. Well, then it's one nobody wins. But let's pray. Let's pray. I thank you for your time, Chris. It's been great to be with you. Let me pray us out of here. Lord God, thank you so much for just being able to preach. Thank you so much for the mysteries of God and Holy Trinity being one of those huge ones we get to bask in the glory of this week. Be with Pastor Chris as he teaches here to the good folks at Emmanuel Downers Grove. Be with me as I preach to the good folks at St. Andrews. And thank you for... the word coming through him, through me, and for your Holy Spirit working on pastors preaching this word. Be with the church at large as we celebrate this mystery. Be with Pastor Ethan as he's, you know, coming back from vacation. And we thank you and praise you for your goodness. All these things we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right.